And for those who are visiting with us this morning, we are glad that you are here. Take a moment. I'm not going to go through all of the announcements this morning. There are tons of them. You may read them. There's lots and lots going on. Pick and choose what you believe is of interest to you. I hope that you pick and choose more than less, but we also know that there are time limits to things. But please take notice, particularly though, of the thing that we are doing with Lent and looking through the eyes of Jesus and the way that that can be impactful beyond our own walls, beyond this congregation, on Facebook, on Twitter, on all of those things where we can show other people what it means to see mercy through God's eyes and to understand God's timing and not ours. So take a moment to look at those. In your bulletin, you have our prayers and our concerns. Obviously, we don't each week continue to list everyone, but we trust that you have kept those names in your hearts. And sometimes we like to bring back some results from some of our prayers. And one of those this morning, we have for the last couple of weeks kept Evelyn's friend Derek in our prayers. And Evelyn shared with me this morning that he is home, he is healing, he is doing better. And so it's always good to know that that the result of prayer, the result of medicine, of God's hands really does work. Also, from this morning's, or from yesterday's breakfast, a prayer for Liliana from her mother Maria. She is in Medical City Hospital, is what I read. And so we keep our friend Maria and certainly Liliana in our prayers. Jeff Wyatt, the brother of Michelle Wyatt, suffered a couple of TIAs this past week, and he is also in the hospital, and so Michelle asked prayer for those. I asked prayers for my friends Mike and Michelle, and I'll share a little bit more about that later, but we have kept them in our prayers for quite a while now, and we continue to keep them in our prayers. Are there others that I have missed? Are there joys that I have missed? It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. You and I are salt. You and I are light. So let us show the world what the Lord can do with us and through us. Let us give thanksgiving to God. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless God's name, holy name, and all that is within me. In forgiving all of our offenses, in curing all of our diseases, in redeeming our lives from the pits, in crowning us with love and tenderness, in filling our lives with prosperity, and in renewing our youth like eagles. The Lord knows from what we are made, remembers that we are dust. A human lasts no longer than grass, lives no longer than a wildflower, and yet the Lord's love for those who fear him lasts for all eternity and forever. Like God's goodness to our children's children, as long as they keep the covenant.
Bless the Lord.
You may be seated. You will hear this morning that God, through the prophet Isaiah, required believers to actually practice what they preached. But being human, we try. But when we fall short, we have this promise that God gives us this invitation to come to Him for forgiveness. And so this morning, as we do that, may our souls, may our spirits, may our lives be renewed in seeking God's mercy. Let us join together as we pray. We are your people, God. And words that we should never get tired of hearing. We are forgiven. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us all.
God, though our human lamps may grow dim, grant that by your Holy Spirit and the hearing of your word, the light of Christ shall shine through us, that as we attempt to love as he has loved, the world may see our few good works and give glory to heaven. Through Christ Jesus our Savior, amen. The reading this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1 through 9, and you can find it on page 688 in your pew Bible if you want to follow along. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am."
There are multiple times when it is an advantage to be up here. This morning was one of those as I watched them standing dancing and as I watched you all singing and dancing as you sat. Thank you, choir. Wonderful. The reading this morning from Matthew's Gospel is a continuation of the Sermon on the Mount from last week. We start again in the fifth chapter, this time verses 13 through 20. And keep in mind what we heard last week. Blessed are you. And Jesus now says, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It will no longer be good for anything, but it is thrown out and it's trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. You are a city built on a hill that cannot hide. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but they put it on a lampstand, and so it gives light to the whole house. And in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to God, the Father in heaven. So do you think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets? I have not come to abolish them. I've come to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. And so therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and then teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of our Lord that neither fades nor withers, and we say, thanks be to God. Our Old Testament lesson today primarily was composed for the exiles who had returned home after generations of captivity in a foreign land. And yet, when they do actually finally get home, it looks like anything but that. War, disrespect for their sacred land and people, their holy city was in ruins. God's people just wanted to come and they wanted to return to their old life. And this homecoming experience, though, has left them disillusioned. But it's also left them determined to basically look past the truth of their situation to try to live as they once lived. Now, you throw into that mix the voice of the prophet Isaiah on behalf of God, telling the people that they must immerse themselves in what God is doing in the world right now, not back then. Does my heart go out to God's people? Sure it does. What one of us gathered here today doesn't yearn for that place of sanctuary, for a little bit of peace, for some time to put away pain and to put away poverty, to put away division and hatred? But these returning exiles just simply wanted to hole up inside of their temple walls and let the world outside just deal with itself. And you know, God's heart goes out to them also, but it goes out to them for a different reason. Because God knows if they choose to wall themselves off and to keep their faith to themselves, if they try to hoard all of this goodness of God, that if they try to do that for just a chosen few, that God is going to say to them, much as God said to us last week, you are choosing to deny a blessing and to be a blessing for others. Don't wall yourself off. So here's what I want you to take to heart, God says through Isaiah. You in front of me, you have experienced injustice and you have been put down and you have been held under the thumb of others. And so you are the people who need most to speak up and to speak out about this behavior. And to think that you're pleasing me with prayer and with song and with offering while outside those exiled because they're not doing it your way, well, then you're sorely mistaken. You who were once powerless in that foreign land are now powerful here at home, and you have a choice, excuse me, as to how you're going to use that power. And if I'm honest, there's a little bit of me that wants to say to the prophet Isaiah that he needs to go a little bit easy on the people. They were, at least from everything we can tell in Scripture, they were good people. They were faithful to God. They want to follow the letter of their law in their religious observances. So I want to say, you know what? Go easy on them, Isaiah. But the operative words here are their religious observances. The bottom line truth of this, though, is that this is God's pronouncement through Isaiah. So to tell you the truth, I'm not really sure that I want to tell God to take it easy. So I changed my mind on that one. What I do want, though, is to understand what God is doing. And that's what Isaiah is trying to teach them and to teach us. This disillusionment, this failure to see how God is working in the here and now, how close God is to us, has the people missing out on the essential of who God is. God is compassion, God is justice, God is inclusive, and God is always saying to us, look to the world through a larger lens than just your own. If I believe that ultimately God is pleased when all we do, when all I do is take care of myself or my immediate community, that's when disillusionment comes knocking at the door, and that's when it is harder for me to ultimately persevere in faith. And persevering in faith is my heart's prayer a lot these days for so many of you. And today, particularly for my best friend, Michelle. I asked for prayers for Mike and Michelle. And so today, a little bit more of her story. You and I have prayed for Mike, particularly this last week, or this last year, and considering that he had a liver transplant and back surgery within a few months of each other, he's doing well. What I haven't shared is that one of their three very handsome, very successful young men, by world standards. Their middle son has had struggles since he was in high school. And in the mix of all of Mike's things, in the mix of Garrett's things, Michelle and I lost our dearest friend, Jan. Michelle's father had back surgery, and as he was recovering, her mother fell and broke a leg and an ankle. But you know what? Not surprisingly, in all of our seriousness and all of our sincere prayers about all of these things, Michelle and I have managed to find the humor and to continue to give thanksgiving to God for strength and faith and hope and love. But right now, I find Michelle and Mike just maybe a few knocks away from disillusionment. If they would choose that, they could be tempted to feel that God is not near. Their middle son, Garrett, took his own life on Thursday night. And I'm going to share something with you that's very personal that I normally wouldn't, and I have permission from Michelle to do this. But I'm sharing it because I believe it speaks to the power of persevering in faith when all around us, the world seems to act like God doesn't matter, that God doesn't listen, that God doesn't care, that God isn't near. This is part of what I sent to Michelle. My dearest heart friend, through all of Jan's illnesses, I placed her in God's all-wise hands, but I prayed for a miracle. When you told me about Garrett's struggles, I placed him in God's all-compassing hands, but I prayed for a miracle. I've lifted Bob and Grace, Colin and Skeet up in prayer for God's healing, for comfort, and for peace. And through all and in all that Mike is going through, I have placed him in the all-loving hands of God, and I have prayed for a miracle. For you, my forever friend, I have asked the Lord to walk with you as you have walked this journey with so many that you love. And especially when the sand got deep, to carry you in his arms, leaving just that one set of footprints. And now for you and Mike, I pray a miracle. I ask that this indescribable pain be tempered by knowing how many, so many that you don't even know, are asking for God's comfort for you right now. Through these last few years, I have shared with my family, my friends, with my congregation, the unwavering faith and grace that I have known in my two friends, Michelle and Jan. And why this miracle that I prayed for the full healing of Garrett, was not answered as we wanted, I don't have an answer. But to be very honest, my Lord remains strong, and my faith in my Lord remains strong. But on this one, I just don't understand. My heart is breaking for you, Mike and Michelle, and for all of your family. And so my prayer now will be for the kind of peace that we humans cannot give, but God can. And when my life on earth is done, I am going to thank God for the faith that has given me strength for mine through my sister named Michelle. But I'm also going to ask why. This is Michelle's response. We stand on faith. It's the only solid thing under our feet right now while everything else around us is spinning. God is good. But one day, I'm also going to ask God, why? Until then, I keep believing that God is near to the brokenhearted, especially when the heart is totally broken apart. And you know what? I believe, and I think Michelle believes, that when that time comes, when we ask God why, I think we both believe that God is going to say, Garrett is at peace. There is that restlessness in us that until we return to God, we have, and Garrett is at peace. When God's people were complaining again about what they believed to be God's eerie silence, when they were wondering where God was, when they were wondering what God was doing, I wish they could hear the words of my friend Michelle. God is near. But you know what? They even had a hard time listening to God, listening to the prophet Isaiah, listening to Jesus. Jesus and Isaiah both tell them that God's presence is with them forever. But it's not that we can just snap our fingers and demand answers and actions from God. That's not how it works. Praying, fasting, reading law, all of those things are good and they are faithful. But God is also busy watching over the brokenhearted, feeding the hungry, being with those who are frightened, those ones who have been exiled just outside of our walls because they don't fit our idea of what it means to follow Christ. God is saying through Isaiah that religion is not just for the privileged, it's for everyone. Jesus preaching to us last week from the Sermon on the Mount reminded us that faith requires that we walk the path that he walked. The gut-wrenching reality, though, is that there are so many who choose not to follow, and that's on them. But if we Christians so wrap ourselves up in empty worship, excluding those who most need to hear of God's unconditional love, that's on us. You and I are the very people who have experienced brokenness. We have experienced God's nearness so much like a rock underneath us, so many times that has kept us from falling completely apart. We know what the better choice is. We know that to follow in faith is what we need to do because we have been called light and we have been called to shine brightly, maybe sometimes dimly, but to keep shining in faith. Jesus knew that these Pharisees had good intentions. They really don't want the people to break the law because they don't want them to lose favor with God. And while Jesus doesn't really think so much of their over-the-top righteousness, what he does say to them is, I didn't come to get rid of your law. I came to make it better. Not to make fun of, but to give you some insight into what Jesus was facing with these laws. Here are a couple of Sabbath workday laws. If you were to spit on the ground and the ground was disturbed, it was considered plowing and you were working. If you swatted a fly and you killed it on the Sabbath, you were hunting and you were guilty of working. There are more serious ones, but those are part of the Sabbath laws. And Jesus is saying, you know what, if we want to look at the world in a new way, if we want to be in a better, renewed relationship with God, then you're going to have to embrace this law as blessing and not as requirement. You need to embrace these laws as a commissioning and not as a command. Jesus wants us to see ourselves the way he sees them. The way he sees us. And he doesn't say, if you want to be salt or light, do this. Or he doesn't say, before you can be salt or light, I need to see this from you. Rather, he simply and directly says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. So use your salt to flavor and to persevere faith. Use your light to illumine that pathway back to God. And these are gifts that have been given to us. We can choose to use them or not, but the thing, folks, is we can't give them back. I want to close with a prayer poem that I think gets to the heart of showing, particularly young people, but I think maybe even more so in our day, showing older people this. It's the blessing that each and every one of us hold in our hands that we can choose to use or abuse or to not use it at all. But these blessings, they do make a difference. And they can cause our one little light to shine in such a way that it just might strengthen someone's faith in God and be reminded and embraced the reality that in God's eyes we are worthy. You've heard it before. If children live with criticism, they learn to condemn. If children live with hostility, they learn to fight. If children live with fear, they learn to be apprehensive. If children live with pity, they learn to feel sorry for themselves. If children live with ridicule, they learn how to feel shy. If children live with jealousy, they learn how to feel envy. If children live with shame, they learn how to feel guilty. If children live with encouragement, they learn confidence. If they live with tolerance, they learn patience. If children live with praise, they learn appreciation. If they live with acceptance, they learn to love. If children live with approval, they learn to like themselves and others. If children live with recognition, they learn that it is good to have a goal. If they live with sharing, they learn generosity. If they live with honesty, they learn truthfulness. If they live in fairness, they learn justice. If they live in kindness and consideration, they learn respect. If children live with security, they learn to have faith in themselves and in those around them. If they live with friendliness, they learn that the world is a good place to live. Folks, you and I can become what we are called. And I just have to say this. Mike and Michelle called Garrett light. They called him salt. They called him beloved. And they called him child of God. And we may never know why Garrett didn't embrace that. So may our shining lights love and lead others not to empty worship, but to the very heart of Jesus. And when all of the world is spinning around us and when we are asking why, may we not look back to what was, but look forward to what God is doing here and now. Standing firmly on our faith in our Lord, who says, you are salt, you are light. Amen.
When we affirm our faith, we voice our trust in God, in Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. When we live out that affirmation, we invite others to place their trust in our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. May we find strength in our faith as together we stand saying what we believe.
We believe in God the Father, who reveals the Son, who pours out God's Holy Spirit on us. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who Jesus.
in our prayers this morning, we also remember Tom, who is going to have surgery in two weeks from now. And obviously, we, along with the whole world, are seeking answers. We are seeking miracles. We are praying for all of those who have been affected by this virus that seems to just to have engulfed people. All of those things that we know, and I know those prayers that are in the bottom of your heart, whether you say them or not, God hears them. So together, let's pray. Lord, we come this morning seeking restoration and wholeness. We come to let go of our own desires to be only what you would have us become. And so have mercy on each of us as we seek to renew our covenant with you. And in confidence, we lift our prayers to you, trusting that you hear them. Lord, we remember those who are poor and poor in spirit. And we ask that you will help us find ways to feed them, body and soul, that we will find ways to help them receive the healing of body and soul and spirit. Lord, this morning we pray for the grieving. And there are so many, for so many reasons, Lord. And so we ask that their hearts be comforted and that they will find a renewed relationship with you, so much so that fear and darkness are driven out and they see you as their light. Lord, we lift in prayer those who are doubtful, those who have faith, but perhaps for some reason right now that faith is shaken. We ask that you will hold them, that you will be beneath them, and that you will bring them back to you. For all the ways, Lord, that you ask us to be salt and to be light to this world, we ask that through us and in us, your will be done. But Lord, we don't stop praying for miracles. And we know in your time and in your way, our prayers are answered. And when they are not answered as we do pray, teach us to keep trusting because your way, God, is the best way. This morning, you know the prayers of our hearts for this congregation. You know the prayers of the hearts of the members of this congregation. And so, Lord, I ask now that in the silence of this moment, you hear as we lift them to you. And help us, Lord, to live each day as children of the light, created, called out, and commissioned by the one in whose name we now pray, saying together,
Our Father, who art in heaven,
Scripture tells us that if we give ourselves away, if we give our resources away, our faith grows. And so give away your beauty, give away your energy, give away your faith and your light and your salt so that our neighbors, our friends in Christ, can also grow in their faith. Together we offer God our tithes and offering.
Let us join together as we give thanksgiving to God. Giving God, may your purposes and promises be fulfilled through the offering of these gifts. Amen.
Words of wisdom from the Lord this morning. Longing for light, we wait in darkness. Longing for truth, we turn to you. Make us your own, your holy people, light for the world to see. Christ be our light. Shine in our hearts, shine through the darkness. Christ be our light, and shine in your church gathered today. Longing for peace, the world is troubled. Longing for hope, many despair. But your word alone has the power to save us. Make us your living voice. Christ be our light. Shine in our hearts. Shine through the darkness. Christ be our light. Shine in your church gathered here today. And may we be the light, the salt, as we leave this place today. May the love of God surround us. May the peace of Christ be in us. May the power, the presence, the comfort of the Spirit be with us this day and forever. Amen.